From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Freed from the Law's Curse, the second in a short series dealing with Romans chapter 8. In the text we read, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. That text is found in verse 2. Dr. Cairns began by defining the terms which Paul employed in the text. What did he mean by the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death? As we've seen, the law of the Spirit of life is simply the gospel, while the law of sin and death is the Mosaic law. In the remainder of the message, he's setting forth the teaching of the text. The law was never intended to be a means of salvation. All it could do was to show men their sin and condemn them for it. Only a sinless man could both keep the law and bear its penalty on the behalf of guilty sinners. That man was the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as Paul wrote to the Galatians, freed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the message. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 15 and verse 4. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. How did you begin to bear fruit? It was when you came to Jesus and cast yourselves on his great atonement and rested on his finished righteousness. Ah, what fruit you had then! Do you remember those early days? Then indeed the vine flourished, the tender grape appeared, the pomegranates budded forth, and the beds of spices gave forth their smell. Have you declined since then? If you have, we charge you to remember that time of love, and repent, and do thy first works. Be most in those engagements which you have experimentally proved to draw you nearest to Christ, because it is from him that all your fruits proceed. Any holy exercise which will bring you to him will help you to bear fruit. The sun is no doubt a great worker in fruit-creating among the trees of the orchard, and Jesus is still more so among the trees of his garden of grace. When have you been the most fruitless? Has it not been when you have lived the farthest from the Lord Jesus Christ, when you have slackened in prayer, when you have departed from the simplicity of your faith, when your graces have engrossed your attention instead of your Lord, when you have said, My mountain standeth firm, I shall never be moved, and have forgotten where your strength dwells? Has it not been then that your fruit ceased? Some of us have been taught that we have nothing out of Christ by terrible abasements of heart before the Lord. And when we have seen the utter barrenness and death of all creature power, we have cried in anguish, From him all my fruit must be found, for no fruit can ever come from me. We are taught by past experience that the more simply we depend upon the grace of God in Christ and wait upon the Holy Spirit, the more we shall bring forth fruit unto God. Oh, to trust Jesus for fruit as well as for life.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
I want you to notice this. The law pronounces every fallen man guilty and places him under sentence of death. You take this book of Romans. That's what Paul is at pains to expound and to impress upon the heart. Before Paul ever gets, having just stated what his whole thesis is in chapter 1, before he ever gets to deal with the glories of the person and work of Christ, he brings men down into a dark, dark valley of human depravity. Chapter 1 of Romans is so dark that in all of literature, inspired or secular, there is no more forceful manifestation of the dark wickedness of the human heart. Romans chapter 1. He goes through the world, mostly the Gentile world, and he shows the nations in their wickedness. And by the way, when you read Romans chapter 1, the latter half of the chapter, you're reading a social commentary on America 2008. You're reading a social commentary on Europe 2008. God looked at the ancient world. He described its wickedness. I make no excuse for them and their wickedness. There they were. They were uneducated for the most part. Their religion was idolatry. It was paganism. It was heathenism. You could see those people sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into their wickedness. Now we come into our countries in this day and age. Educated, degrees coming out of their ears. The country's going to hell by these degrees. Because they're using what they think is learning as a way of rationalizing, and with the wickedest sophistry, creating a reason for them to live in sin and deny God. That's where we are today. God looked at the Gentile world and he says, guilty. But people say, Lord, they didn't have the Bible. Guilty. But Lord, they haven't heard your name. Guilty. It's not the lack of the Bible. It's not the lack of the hearing of the gospel. It's not the lack of the particular message of grace that makes them sinners. It's their breach of God's law that makes them sinners. And he says the whole Gentile world is guilty. We hear people who think they're being loving Christians. Preachers of love. And in fact, they're heretical deniers of truth. I think of the famous pastor of the Crystal Cathedral. Oh, sure, he hopes. He believes, as did Billy Graham say he believed, that there are people who'll be in heaven who never heard the name of Christ, never repented under the gospel, and never knew the Savior. Because the whole thing is, how could God condemn these people who have never heard? Let me answer that. We are commanded to take the gospel to every creature. We are commanded to envelop the world and encompass the world with the gospel. And that is our duty as Christians, to be part of that worldwide evangelization effort. But it is not the lack of the gospel that makes men guilty. It is their breach of the law of God written on every heart and written down by Moses in the Decalogue. Then God moved on from the Gentiles and he came to the Jews. They were a very different people. We have the scriptures. We are the sons of Abraham. We are the children of the covenant. We have had the sacramental sign of that covenant. We bear it in our bodies. We learn the scriptures. We read the scriptures. We are not as these Gentiles. You read Romans chapter 2, and he says to the Jews, guilty. Guilty. And then Romans chapter 3, he brings it all together. In verse 19, he says, God hath concluded the whole world guilty before God. That's what the law does. That's the curse of the law. There are really two parts to the curse of the law. One is conviction, the pronouncing guilty. And the other is condemnation, the imposition of the sentence of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. The law pronounces every fallen man guilty, sentences him to death. You're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. You may have been brought up have the most positive self-image. You may have been taught that it's so psychologically healthy to learn to look at yourself in such glowing and positive terms. I want you to stop and think. Out of Christ, this is how God describes you. I'm sure you've heard, and I'm not going into the myth, the legend. You've heard the sword of Damocles. I talk tonight of a greater sword. Sword of divine vengeance, justice, the wrath of God. Suspended over the head of every sinner. The law of God says guilty. Sentenced to death. You see, sinners, they may be sitting in $5 million homes, palatial residences. They're sitting in a death cell. They may be eating, drinking, being merry, and dancing their way. But they're in a death cell. That's what the law does. Furthermore, the law does not provide for clemency. So that sinners have no power, no ability, and no chance to free themselves from the curse of the law. It's an amazing thing that lawbreakers, I'm talking about the breakers of God's law, in their pride, assume that there's some way that they can make it right. There's some way they can do something that God's going to be pleased with them. They can do something, and somehow or other, all that I have said about the conviction and the condemnation of the law will all just go away. That's the pride of man. But the truth is, lawbreakers cannot do anything to satisfy God's law. And furthermore, the law of God, I want you to read it carefully. The law of God says, thou shalt not, and if you break it, it says, death. No clemency. No mercy. Now, understand what I'm saying. In the law and its enactment, no clemency, no mercy. The only thing the law of God can do is impose the sentence. And that's why Paul argued so forcefully that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If you're under sentence of death of the law, and you say, well, from this point on, I'm going to try and keep that commandment and that commandment. Let me just stop there for a moment. Even your keeping of those commandments is so riddled with wickedness, pride, selfishness, godlessness, and sin that it's only adding to your condemnation. But could you keep it? If from this point on you could say, the law's condemned me, but I'm going to keep it from this point, and you did it, it wouldn't change what's past. You can't be justified by the works of the law. But here's the good news of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. The good news brought by the authority of the Holy Spirit and applied by grace by that same Spirit to the heart. Here it is. Christ has once and for all freed all his people from the curse of the law. How did he do it? By redeeming them. Romans 3:24. We usually read Romans 3:23 and forget that there's anything that follows it. All have sinned. All come short of the glory of God. That's true. But read on. And verse 24 tells you something very, very important. That we are justified, being justified freely. Notice that word. Freely. By His grace, Now those two words, the word freely and by His grace, really are almost synonymous, except that grace tells you how you can receive it freely. We are justified freely by His grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We were singing tonight, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that's a glorious, glorious truth. Galatians 3:13. That's Paul's text there. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse for us. You see, here we get into the work of Christ. This is why I say in our text, it's not the regenerating work of the Spirit that frees you from condemnation. It is the redemptive work of Christ that frees you. It's His work. In His life, He fulfilled the law and its precept. In His death, He paid the penalty of the law and its sentence. He has provided a perfect satisfaction of the law of God in both precept and penalty. He has provided thereby a perfect righteousness. At last, a man has come on the earth who has satisfied God's law. For the first and only time in the history of the world, a man has fully, absolutely, completely satisfied God's law. A man has established a human righteousness. Oh, it's called the righteousness of God because it's the righteousness God has provided for us in Christ. But it was the man, Christ Jesus, who was made under law. It was the man, Christ Jesus, who fulfilled the law. It was as a man that He established this righteousness. There's a man in the glory tonight because a man earned the way there. That's the glory of the gospel. It's the work of Christ. That led Him all the way to the cross. There, soaked in His own blood, to render satisfaction to the justice of God and God's law. To deal with sin. To bear it away. To establish the ground whereby God could and would accept not only Christ the man, but His people in Him. The glorious, glorious gospel. And that redemption gives you freedom.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.